almost half of the GPs here in Northern Ireland, who were polled basically by their union in a UK-wide GP survey, have reported experiencing unmanageable workloads. Apparently, they are worked to the bone. Let me speak to Dr. Tom Black. Dr. Black, the BMA Northern Ireland GP Committee Chair. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Frank.
How difficult is it for GPs? Going by this survey, it looks like as if, you know, they're finding it incredibly difficult, but then the BMA is hardly going to be conducting a survey that's going to make it look like easy peasy for the GPs.
Yeah, I think what the survey showed, Frank, was that Northern Ireland is in more trouble than the other three countries, with the lowest number of GPs per head of the population, with the lowest funding and the highest workload. The average GP in Northern Ireland now looks after more than 2,000 patients for each GP, and they're running 47 consultations per day, 172 prescriptions, and 35 lab tests, along with a lot of other work. And I think you and I would recognise that 47 consultations a day is too many.
Well, you're allowed, what is it, 10 minutes per patient, is that it?
Yeah, the standard consultation rate is one every 10 minutes, and the average patient comes in with three problems now. And as we appreciate, the population is becoming more aged, and older people have diabetes and blood pressure and heart trouble and gout and bad lungs. And it really takes more than 10 minutes now, so you're really trying to squeeze an awful lot into 10 minutes.
What would your ideal situation be then? More funding to create more GPs? I'm quite sure that people are listening to this programme and they're thinking, well, you know, a GP, very well educated man or woman, yes, but also exceptionally well paid.
Yes, GPs are well paid, there's no doubt about that. But the problem we have is that none of the young doctors want to become GPs because the workload is excessive. I think what we need to see is increased funding to bring in more GPs, to increase the number of GPs. Unfortunately, in Northern Ireland, over the last 6 years, we've seen cuts to GP funding every year for 6 years.
Do you see a time when, obviously the way you're speaking, the answer will be no, but do you see a time when GPs are going to be more readily available at times when we can get them, as opposed to only being up and running when the rest of us are at work and you want to have a check-up or an appointment and you have to take time off? Is that, your suggestion is that the flexibility is going to be ruled out, the idea of having weekend appointments and whatever?
I think in the short term we'll be lucky if we have a GP service at all in Northern Ireland. We have all the young doctors refusing to take jobs here and emigrating to Australia and to Canada. So I think our real problem will be trying to maintain what we have. I think that we have a situation where we've put all our money and all our resources into hospitals, and we've neglected for the last decade general practice. If we want to see a GP service sustained, I think we're going to have to invest in it. I think to expand it more would be impossible at the moment. But, you know, Frank, we're already providing 12.7 million consultations per year in Northern Ireland. That's seven per person per year. That's the highest in the United Kingdom. So please, don't tell me you can't get an appointment. 12.7 million consultations tells me you're wrong.
So you don't think there's a demand for the service being provided at the weekends?
Oh, I think there's a demand for more and more GP appointments. We've increased the number of GP appointments by 67% in the last 10 years without any extra staff. If I said to you, we'll increase the number of GP appointments by 67% in the next 10 years, you'd say to me, that's great, that's job done. We've just done that over the last 10 years, and yet everybody says to me, we can't get an appointment. I suspect that if we doubled the number of appointments again in the next 10 years, you'd still be saying that to me in 10 years' time. It's very frustrating being a GP when you do so much hard work and people say, oh, I can't get an appointment.
So let's presume you get what you're looking for, which would be more funding and more GPs. How much better a service could you roll out? Would you be prepared to roll out a better service if you had what you're looking for?
Well, absolutely. If we increase the number of GPs, we could start doing an extended hours service between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., which, to be frank, is an area which I think there is a need. Most patients actually don't want to go to the GP on Saturdays and Sundays. We've had pilots in different parts of the United Kingdom, and to be frank, people are very busy on Saturdays and Sundays, and they don't want to go to see the GP then. They say they'd like it to be available, but they don't actually use it. But I do think there's a case to be made for evenings.
And the idea of maybe that being available in the evening, but you have to pay for it. Do you give that any consideration, or is it just beyond the pale to even consider that if you want to go at a more convenient time, there would be a small fee?
I'm the BMA spokesman. It's our policy not to bring in charges for patients. We are very concerned if there are charges, there will be inequalities based on class and ability to pay, and I don't think that's what the National Health Service stands for. So we would prefer to see the National Health Service funded by taxation, by the general public, and free at the point of need.
Those who are, of course, responsible for funding and indeed for employing GPs and for developing the general practice network across Northern Ireland would highlight a situation whereby you have doctors who are not as stretched as you're suggesting they are, and who are, and I go back to the original point, exceptionally well paid for what they do. So you might come across here as sounding like as if you're losing the argument in relation to public opinion.
No, I think there's a general acceptance, and we've done a lot of research recently with the board and with the department. There's a general acceptance that GPs have been underfunded for the last 10 years, under-resourced, and that there isn't the workforce. Those are all facts that are now accepted. In fact, the chief executive of National Health Service in England has said that there's been gross underfunding of general practice for the last 10 years, and he now needs to fix that. And in England, they're putting billions of pounds into general practice, and they're going to increase the number of GPs by probably about 8,000. What we've failed to persuade the Department of Health in Northern Ireland. We've persuaded them of the fact, they know the fact, but we've failed to persuade them to make general practice a priority. They see other areas as being a priority, and to be quite blunt, if that's how the politicians and the civil servants see it, then we have to accept that. If they don't want to hire more GPs and provide a better service for patients, we have to accept that as well. But don't then come to my door and say, I want an appointment and I want more than 12.7 million appointments, because my answer is, I'm sorry, the young GPs have emigrated to Australia.
I notice whenever we talk about teachers and how much pressure the teaching profession is under, you get texts about the very long holidays and they also finish at 3 o'clock every day. Now, as someone who has an understanding of the teaching profession, I have to say that there was a time when it was like that, and it is no longer like that. In relation to the GPs, I see two texts that are making reference to golf courses and doctors. Is it fair to say that, you know, that a considerable number of GPs on a day like today aren't on the golf course?
I would love to play golf. I used to play golf a long time ago. I literally haven't reached for a golf club in 8 years. I just don't have time. I hope to do that again in my retirement. GPs don't play golf anymore. They're working 12-hour days in their practices, and then they're covering the night time and weekend, because there's this perception that GPs don't do out-of-hours. GP out-of-hours does 3/4 of all the workload in the out-of-hours period, and all of that work is done by GPs doing GP out-of-hours. So GPs still do out-of-hours. The majority of GPs still work nights and weekends, and they do that in addition to the 12-hour day in their practice. And that, to be blunt, is why we can't attract young doctors into the profession, because they look at it and think, I'm not going to do that for the rest of my life. I'm emigrating to Australia.
But what percentage of GPs do out-of-hours? Because a considerable number turned their back on it.
All of out-of-hours is done by GPs. So all the nights and all the weekends are done by GPs, and GPs run more than 600,000 consultations per year in the out-of-hours period, which is 3/4 of all the workload in the out-of-hours period. Of the total number of GPs, 56% do out-of-hours work and the others don't. Why? Because they may be young mothers with children, or they may be GPs ready for retirement. So the majority of GPs still do out-of-hours, but I agree, not all of them do. But thank goodness, because if we tried to force young mothers into working out of hours, they would probably leave the profession as well.
Now, I know, I think it was Christmas time, the headlines were making reference to the amount that GPs were getting paid for providing an out-of-hours service. But, you know, Christmas time is a very unsociable time to be working. In relation to being on call overnight, there would be an attractive recompense for that, I'm sure. What is the rate for that?
The rate for GP out-of-hours work is £50 per hour. So if you work a six-hour shift, you would get £300. One third of that goes towards your pension. Another 40% goes towards tax, and you take the balance.
And can you be sitting in your house, or do you have to be at a unit to get that money?
Oh no, you'd be. Frank, the workload in out of hours now is horrendous. You're on site. You're working non-stop. Really pressured. Really stressed. For instance, over the weekend, it's 4 days at the weekend in Belfast. There were 4,136 calls. So a GP would be handling maybe somewhere between 60 and 100 calls during a shift. Really stressful, difficult work.
Now, I do know it is life and death work. It's as simple as that, literally life and death. But there will be people listening who are working for £7 an hour and they'll think, 50 quid an hour.
I know. I have no argument with the contention that GPs are well paid. But my concern is not the pay for my members, which is good. My concern is, despite the fact that it is well paid, nobody wants to do the job because they find it too stressful and they find it unreasonable in its demands. That's my concern. At no point have I ever said that we're not well paid. We are.
Dr. Black, good speaking to you. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Tom Black speaking on behalf of the GPs. He's with the British Medical Association.